make sure the sheep are growing and they're always going to new pasture. The hireling is different. It's a person that's called a minister, but comes in because they're hired to do the work of the ministry. But in that hiring, it is not because they love the people, but because they need the money and they need the job. The Bible talks about that individual, and that person will actually, if the wolf comes into the pack, he'll allow the wolf to eat the sheep as long as he's safe. What I want you to know in this house, you don't have one hireling in this church for a pastor. I am not a hireling. Pastor Dan is not a hireling. Pastor Obi is not a hireling. We can go through all of the pastors, and we got a great group of pastors in this church. And I want you to know, they love you. They genuinely, honestly love and care for you. And you should honor your gifts. And that means many different things, but you need to honor them and respect them. Is that fair? Very quiet in the room. Amen. One day I was asked to go to breakfast. It was a local church here, a denominational church, asked me to go to breakfast, one of the board members. We sat down and he says, I'm having a problem. He said, we're trying to hire a new pastor. And he said, I've got all these resumes. You know, I keep, when they come in for an interview, I let them know they've got to line up with our vision. And I says, no, you got that backwards. I said, they don't have to line up with your vision. You have to line up with their vision. Vision is one of the most powerful things that God puts within a local pastor. Because vision is where the church is going. A church that has no vision is lost. One time I had a man come to Rock Solid Faith. Back then it was called Catechism. And he's sitting down taking it, and he goes to one church on a Sunday morning and goes to Rock Solid Faith or Catechism on that Tuesday nights. And every once in a while, he'd pop into our church. And I looked at him one night, and I says, you know, you got to make a decision. And he said, what do you mean I got to make a decision? I said, you got to choose which house you're going to be part of. He says, what are you talking about, choose what house I'm going to be part of? I said, the fact is you can't be part of two visions. That's called division. You're going to be part of one vision. You got to sell your heart out to a vision. Remember, you marry the vision and not the pastor. And every one of us, our job in the local church is to be a working part, functioning part of the body of Christ. And the job of the local pastor is to equip you, grow you up, and get you into the vision. And every pastor that does that in this house, God's really blessed us. With the amount of workers that are in this house, it's very amazing to me. The amount of pastors that are in the house, and many of them not paid. I don't know if you know that. Pastor Banfield's not paid a dime, and he won't take a dime. He just sows all of his time. He's an amazing man of God. So vision is very powerful. Every pastor must have a vision. So I asked that guy, I says, what's the vision of the other church? He goes, I don't know if they have one. I says, well, if they don't have a vision, then you're lost. If you don't know where you're going, you're lost. And he said, well, I'll figure it out. Went back to the church, asked the pastor, do you have a vision? He goes, no. He said, we love Jesus. It's awesome to love the Lord, but that's not the job of the local church. The job of the local church is that we all have diversity as churches, but in that diversity, we all have a goal. We all have a vision. We all have a direction. We all have a vision. We all have a mission specifically that is assigned to that local church. And in that, the pastor teaches, develops, matures in that vision. The Bible says, actually, you must write the vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he who runs may read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. That is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision. The word there actually, revelation, actually means prophetic vision, the ability to where God is directing you supernaturally. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. So the vision of the local church is extremely important. Now, the vision of his tabernacle has been written down. If you don't have a copy, you can jump online. The vision is written there. It's very clear on there. If you went to catch the vision, we actually showed you the vision. We'll get everybody, in fact, next week we'll have a sheet with the vision on it so you can have it in your hands. You should have one in your hands at all times. That is because that's where we're going for the next 10 years. We're not lost. We know where we're going. We know what God has called us to. His tabernacle does three things. What do? We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. What three things do we do? Here we go. Let's do it together. Ready? We do three things at His Tabernacle Family Church. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. One more time. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. And that was evidence on Sunday morning. If you were in first service, the anointing was so strong that it went absolutely quiet in the room and you could hear a pin drop. It was just so powerful. The anointing was so strong. And it was strong in the second service, but not as strong as in the first. It was just a phenomenal outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in the first service. And you know, one of the things that just was exuberant was you could just sense the love of God. You could sense that the people loved the Lord and that there was a strong connection in the Spirit. It was just phenomenal. We love God. We save souls. This week alone, already, we have seen, let me see, there were 2, 4, 8, I think there's been 9 people born again already this week. There were 24 people born again last week. There were, I think, 16 the week before. This month alone, we've seen almost 100 people born again have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in the children's wing, we've seen 8 kids baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. Just in the kids' wing. It's been awesome. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. The one thing you'll know is that how we spend our money at His Tabernacle Family Church, if it does not fit within those three categories, we don't invest in it. Everything we do is governed by the vision. Everywhere we're going, every money, every dollar that's spent is towards that vision. In fact, I'll be leaving tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. to Campeche, Mexico. Pastor Chad has already been down there for a week. We have... a building that is way too small, only seats 3,000 people. I know we're going to be turning people away. We just got another stronger invitation. There won't be 1,300 college students. There'll be 3,000 college students. The local people have donated 24 buses to bus these college kids in so they can hear the gospel. We now have high schools that are going to be busing in high school students to hear us teach them about Jesus. First time it's ever happened in the history of this entire city. Actually, the entire country. I should say state. I apologize. The state. So it's very exciting, as we say. But we wouldn't go down there if souls weren't going to be saved. We have Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth preaching, one of the greatest soul winners of our age. And we're believing the Lord for at least 2,000 people to be born again. Now that goes to the account of this house. Here, we've probably sown $5,000 towards that ministry. It's not a lot of money, but man, that shows where we believe vision is. You only put money where it's going to touch a life. Every single Wednesday, and if you have not been on a Wednesday night, I challenge you to come on a Wednesday night and help serve these young children. Where every single week we are serving, I think now they had 115, 118 children this last week, and there were 109 on Thursday night. So we're busing in these kids, and we're feeding these kids, loving these kids. Let me tell you something. When you start seeing these kids who have no love at home, all of a sudden stare you in the eye, grab your leg, and hang on, because you're the only hug they've had that whole week. When you look at their feet and their shoes are 3 sizes too small and their feet are all crunched up inside because they have nothing and their parents would rather smoke it than buy them something. And all of a sudden we're able to give them clothing and these kids just beam. I don't know if you remember the story, but it was 2 years ago, there was a child in one of the rooms whose shoes were so small that their feet were all crumped up and they were like Kmart special shoes. So the other kids were mocking this kid, making fun of this kid. This kid was crying all the time. And so We asked, do we have any shoes his size, sneakers his size? Someone that day had donated a brand new pair of Jordans. There is his exact size. We brought that kid out, put that brand new pair of Jordans on him. He went back in the classroom. I know it's because my wife was in the classroom. And he put his feet right up on the table. Boom. He was just bursting with pride. But you know who gave that to him? You. It's awesome because this is the vision of the house. And the pastor's job is to have the vision that God's planted within his heart. And in that vision, everything that we do moves forward in where God is taking us. And that's why his tabernacle, I believe, has been so amazingly successful. You know, in this size town, in this size entire county, a church this size is abnormal. It's abnormal in a city where, like Rochester or Syracuse, but it is overwhelmingly strange in a community our size. Now it has nothing to do with me, but what this is we have a mass group of people here that love God so much. They want to see souls saved, and you know what? They want to be leaders. And what's happening is we're raising up the army of God to go into this community to change this community, and it is changing. It is changing. The mayor has told us that God is using us to change the city. The principals have told us that God is using us to change the city, that their schools have changed. God is using this house. But that's not because of one individual. That's because the pastor, the gift to the church, has the vision, and it hasn't changed since the very first day the church opened. And we've remained consistent, and we've raised up leaders. Now we're in our third generation of leaders in this church. And now what we're starting to see is we're actually starting to see more momentum than we've ever seen before. And God is using us in a tremendous way. Now, another reason why you need a pastor is you need accountability. Accountability is something that people in America just don't like. Don't tell me what to do. I love that part. But you know, honestly, we all need someone to tell us a little bit. With me? My nickname in my first church was the arrogant young pup. Let me tell you, I had to learn some hard lessons because I was somewhat rebellious in the ministry. And it's really nice. I was somewhat rebellious in the ministry, and it was tough. But let me tell you, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And when you learn that accountability is not your enemy, but accountability is your friend, and that if it's a true pastor, if they are going to correct you, rebuke you, they're doing it because they love you. They don't want to see you make a poor mistake. I've watched so many people in this house. I could fill this church three times with the amount of people that have been saved here that have not stayed. And I'm not talking not stayed, they just jumped to another church. I'm talking they went back to the world. The true, genuine God experience that chose not to serve the Lord. One man I remember, he was a softball player. He's on the bar softball leagues. And all went along, he went to Rock Solid Faith and was growing in the Lord, doing great things. His life was changing. He had been an alcoholic, and God had delivered him from alcoholism. And it came spring, and he looked at me and he says, I won't be at Rock Solid Faith anymore. I says, well, what are you doing? He goes, well, the bar league opens up, so I'm going to go back to the bar. And I says, dude, you're an alcoholic, man. God set you free. Don't go back to the bar league. Stay consistent right here. He says, listen, man, don't put pressure on me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I says, no problem, man. Your life. Sure enough, he's been arrested three times since then for drunk driving. One time they found him in the back of a pickup truck. He lost his wife. He lost his life. All of that because a person chooses not to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And sadly enough, we don't want to hear someone tell us what to do. Listen, I don't like it when the bishop tells me what to do. I remember when Pastor Mary Edlin was my pastor, she looked at me, she said, you will date your wife every Friday or I will come down there and fire you. I'm 25 years old. Who are you going to tell? But I had made a decision that she was going to be my pastor. See, that's the difference. Everybody has to choose whether the person that you're going to the church with is actually your pastor or not your pastor. And no one can make you do that. That's your own personal submission. Amazing, and I'm not even exaggerating. I would be blown away if there's 200 people in this church that I'm actually their pastor. Mainly, I'm the preacher that's up here on Sunday morning. Funny sometimes, irritating sometimes, sometimes. But you have to ask yourself a question, because everyone needs a pastor. Are you my pastor or not? I had somebody one time was really angry with me. They were in a position, and I wasn't seeing motion. I wasn't seeing movement. So I looked at them, and I says, you know, I love you, dude, but I'm going to step you back for a while. Sit down on the front row. And he got mad, like, and his wife really got more angry than he did. Man, who do you think you are? I've been doing this for 20-some-odd years. You're telling me how to do it? I said, well, last I checked, I am the pastor, yeah. I guess the question to you is, am I your pastor? I says, why don't you take 3 days, go pray about it, and let me know. He came back 3 days later, and he says, you know what? I'll submit to you. You are my pastor. I said, then sit on the front row. I said, I'll take one whole year, and I'll come down to your house every single Thursday night, and I'll invest an hour of my time every Thursday into your life to bring you to another level of leadership. And he did phenomenal things. Problem is every one of us got to ask that question of ourselves. Who is my pastor? I had two pastors on me way back when, and two guys, none of them were paid. I gave them both responsibilities. One dude was a Bible study. I gave him 30 people in a Bible study. Another one was Rock Solid Faith. I gave him 16 people, and they were doing the ministry to them. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing both of the numbers dwindle, and I pulled the old dude into the room, and I says, hey, man, you know, what's going on? He goes, you know, I taught him this. I said, well, dude, that's not in the book. Teach him the book. It's your job. Don't tell me what to teach, he said. I says, I guess I got to ask you a question. Am I your pastor or not your pastor? He goes, well, no, you're not my pastor. He said, I don't have a pastor. I said, well, you got 3 days to find one then. Find a pastor. He didn't find a pastor, so I put him out to pasture. See, the issue is that safety comes when you have a shepherd in your life. Now listen, I'm not talking dictatorial, controlling. I'm not talking evil pastor. I'm talking a true shepherd of God who, like Jesus, looked at Peter in one chapter and said, Peter, man has not revealed this to you, but God has. The next chapter, he looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan, for you're speaking the mouth of the devil. If you told that to people today, they'd look at you and go, I'm out of here. And they waddle themselves down the street. I know two churches in the area we have filled from the people that we have brought correction to that refused to be corrected and just went to another church. The problem is they might be in that church, but that pastor's still not their pastor. So the issue comes down to is, you know, do you have a pastor or don't you have a pastor? And that is every individual's choice. You have to choose whether you have a pastor or not. If you have no pastor, well, then you're not in a safe spot, because any sheep wandering out in the woods is in danger. I know this is contrary to American church, but that's the Bible. And the problem is we've gotten so far from the Bible. Accountability was so powerful in the book of Acts that when Peter started preaching to the Gentiles, remember the Gentiles started getting saved? When Gentiles started getting saved, he actually went back to what is called the Council of Jerusalem. The Council of Jerusalem were the apostles that were back in Jerusalem, and he was many, many miles away. And he actually came down to Jerusalem and presented to the apostles. He said, listen, I've been preaching to the Gentiles and they have been getting saved. They have been getting changed. God, the salvation that we experience is what they're experiencing. And the Bible says that the Council of Jerusalem or the apostles got together and started to pray together, started to fast together. They needed to hear from God, whether this was from God or not from God. And then they came out and said, of course, you know, yes, that is the Lord. So keep doing what you're doing, Peter. But what would have happened if they would have said to Peter, no? Peter would have responded by a level of obedience. Now, God would have rebuked the leaders, but ultimately, he submitted himself to the apostles. Therefore, there's a need to be submitted to somebody. If it was good enough for Peter to be submitted, it's good enough for us to be submitted. Can I hear an amen? Now, I wouldn't tell anybody else to submit to a pastor if I wasn't submitted to a pastor. So if I step out from behind the pulpit next week, you go talk to Bishop. If I resign, it's because the bishops told me to resign. And I would, just like that. Why? Because I trust him. I trust that the welfare of me and this house is in his hands. And I trust that he is a man of God and led by the Spirit of God. Anybody have any questions concerning accountability? About a pastor? Nothing? Nobody? Okay, let's move on. Evangelist. The job of an evangelist is different from that of a pastor. The job of the pastor is to bring the sheep into different pastures. But the job of the evangelist is the same. Remember, equip, bring to unity, bring to maturity. But they do it with a different anointing. The anointing of an evangelist is one like Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth is a true evangelist. What is Brother Tiff? Brother Tiff comes in and he'll actually teach you and train you how to lead people to Jesus Christ. The job of the evangelist, equip, bring to unity, bring to maturity. A guy that just comes in, and let's just take Billy Graham, phenomenal respect for Billy Graham, nothing negative to say about Billy Graham, but Billy Graham was not really an evangelist. Billy Graham, he was more of a public encourager and a strengthener, and he gave a salvation message. But he never taught the crowd, never equipped the crowd. Now, his organization does, but he himself, when he would stand up and speak, would be more just a straight salvation message. So every individual is a little bit different, but with an evangelist, there's always a marking of an evangelist because they preach the gospel, people are saved, people are changed, people are healed, but also they'll equip the saints for the work of the ministry, empower you, whether it be through the anointing that they carry and or the teaching that they give, will empower you to be an evangelist as well. Now, that's very powerful because the job of the evangelist is to teach us all to do what God has called us to do. The Bible says that we should all seek and save them which are lost. The Bible says, the Bible in the book of Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15, it makes a declaration, preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they touch any dead thing, shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Verse 20, and God worked with them, proving his word with signs and wonders following. So every one of us are called to be an evangelist. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Timothy chapter 4, do the work of an evangelist. Every one of us are called to reach our friends for Jesus. We're all in that environment to share the gospel with somebody that they may be saved. And the great part about the job of the evangelist is that they do more than just have a meeting. They'll actually equip you for the work of an evangelist. And that is to share the gospel with other people. Do you remember the guy? What was his name? Do you remember his name? Terry, do you remember the dude's name that was from Kenneth Copeland's ministry? You don't? Yeah, you remember it? Riley Stevenson. One day we made, do you guys remember him? We made a phone call down to Kenneth Copeland's ministry, and Kenneth Copeland's ministry sent up Riley Stevenson, and he is an evangelist. What his job is, in fact, he is a horrible speaker. He spoke here on Sunday morning. He is a horrible preacher, but what he did do, his whole job was meeting with people who wanted to learn how to be soul winners, and he taught everybody how to win the lost. It was so stinking cool, because not only did they teach it, but then they went out and did it. One afternoon, in just 2 hours, 30 people led 60 people to Jesus Christ. He taught you how easy it was to share your faith. He taught you how easy it was to go out and talk to somebody about the Lord. I remember walking into the McDonald's that was over here, you know, the new McDonald's where the gas station is. And I walked over there and I looked at the young lady behind the counter, and I started talking to her about, do you know the Lord? Do you go to church somewhere? And she says, well, I used to go to church and I used to know the Lord, but, you know, I'm just so busy and I'm working on Sundays now. And I was able to talk to her about the Lord. And she right behind the counter, rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how many people got saved. They went to Walmart, and they went to Kmart, and they went to Target, and started walking the aisles, and were led by the Holy Spirit who to talk to and who to share the gospel with. Pastor Chad is now doing that. I don't know if you know that, but on Saturdays, you need to look in your bulletin. I believe one's coming in November, where they're coming together. He's training them on soul winning, and then they're going out and doing it. That's the work of an evangelist, empowering you how to share the gospel with your friends. And the last one is called the ministry of the teacher. They have this such a gift to break down the word of God. When you hear Brother Avanzini, I just pray you choose not to miss that Sunday. I don't know what you've got to do. I don't know what you've got to cancel, what you've got to move. Be here October 22nd for both services. I would stay for both services. Let's mess up the second service people. They're going to come looking for their seat, and you already got it. I would come to both services because you're going to get some nugget in one of them that you're not going to get in the other. You do not want to miss, because when he starts teaching about the gift that he has, when he starts teaching the word, you're going to go just like this. Oh, my goodness. I remember when there was a man who came here. He taught for 3 hours. 3 hours. And not one person moved. No one was tired. Everybody stood still. Just writing. That's all they're doing. Writing. In fact, you didn't see a lot of eyes. His gift was so strong in teaching the principles that he was teaching that everybody was just enthralled by the words. Listen, if you have not yet sat under Bishop Rick Thomas, oh my God, our bishop, when he teaches, it is just like, stop. I got to write that one. Stop. Can I get the DVD, please? Because it's so rich. It's just so rich. In fact, when I ride bicycle, I listen to MP3s when I'm riding bicycle. And I have listened to one of Bishop Rick's sermons 8 or 9 times. And each time I listen to it, man, I didn't hear that the first time. Wow, that I've got to apply that one. Anybody ever listen to Miles Monroe? Miles Monroe. You need to get on YouTube and see Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe, when he was alive, he passed away about 3 years ago. When he would teach, oh my goodness, it's 3 hours and you're not moving. You can't move. You don't want to miss anything. You know, in the movies, when you got to pee, you get up, run to the bathroom and get back so you don't miss too much of the movie. You won't go pee because you don't want to miss one nugget. And that is when our brother Avanzini comes, it is going to be in that realm. The depths of the teaching. I'm just going to end it because we're early. But is that all right? I just don't want you to miss the gifts that God has given you. I don't ever bring somebody in here that isn't a gift that will bless your life. In fact, when the prophet came on Sunday night, I came out, and there's Terry and Kayla making sure that he ministers to them before they leave. Don't ever let a ministry gift leave this church without you getting ministered by him. Listen, we honor them so much financially that we need to make them tired when they leave. We want to get every bit of anointing when they leave this place so they got a drip on the way out. We want to squeeze every bit of the presence of God out of their life and gift out of their life. You don't want to miss it. And so I challenge you. What's the job of the apostle? It's an establisher. Remember, there are different levels of apostolic ministry. Jesus is the highest level. The apostles and Paul were the second level. That's where the revelation ceased. There is no new revelation, the word of God. And your apostle for today are those that do not have new revelation, but they are the establishers and overseers of local churches, and it is proven by the signs and wonders that follow their life. You have the prophet. The Old Testament prophet gave the direction for the people. The New Testament prophet does not do that. The New Testament prophet, because now we are led by the Holy Spirit, the New Testament prophet gives you confirmation of the direction that the Spirit of God has already spoken to you. The local pastor is the one who oversees you, is the one who is your spiritual authority, is the one who is your spiritual parent. Even if you get disciplined, it's thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to say, can I just say that? I'll just say that. If you can leave here without even saying goodbye, if you can leave this church and not even say goodbye, I know I've never been your pastor. If you disappear 3-4 weeks at a clip, and I'm not talking you work, and I'm talking like you're just disappearing, and Pastor Dan calls you and you ignore his phone, you don't have a pastor. And I really want to challenge you spiritually that you need to come to another level of commitment to the things of God. Man did not create the church. Man did not create the gifts. Man did not create the process of responsibility. God did that. I'm honored to serve him and to serve you. I promise, and before God, I've been doing this now in this house, it'll be 20 years in February we started this church. I have never done that to anybody. I've never intentionally wounded anybody. I truly, in my heart, is pure as it can be. Where I honestly, genuinely, and the people that are closest to me are my own children. And if your own children are willing to serve with you, you know you're not full of crap. Is that truly, honestly, we love people. And I would be honored to be your pastor. But that doesn't always mean it's comfortable for you. If you have never seen, and you might want to write this down. If you've never watched this series, I almost showed it tonight. Juanita Bynum, has anybody ever heard of her? JUANITABYNUM. Juanita Bynum. Go on YouTube, type in Juanita Bynum, and then type in impartation. IMPARTATION. That is a series of messages that I make my pastors listen to every year. The Bible school students will be listening to it, I believe, next week. Every year we have the Bible school students. You watched it last year, didn't you, Melissa? Yeah. Why? Because it will show you with clear understanding, without your own pastor saying it, what it actually means to have a pastor in your life. It is the safest place you can be. How do I know that? Because my pastor keeps me safe. I am afraid of Brother Ted a little bit, to be honest with you. Brother Ted, he moves so strong in the prophetic. One day he was telling me, he said, I was in prayer one day and one of these guys I was overseeing, I saw him in the back seat of a car with a woman that wasn't his wife. He said, so I called him up. He says, what are you doing in the back seat of that car? You're wearing these clothes. What are you doing in the backseat with that? That woman's got this color hair and your wife has this color hair. He said, how do you know that? He said, God's showing me. That's why I really behave myself. He's scary. He really sees in the spirit. So as your pastor, you got to know that I pray for you. And there are times that if God speaks to my heart, I'll call you and tell you. And sometimes it's comfortable and sometimes it's not. But you know that I'm not going to say anything to you if it's not God. And if you're starting to meander, wander away, and all of a sudden Pastor Spencer calls you up, or Pastor Dan has been sent by Pastor Spencer to call you up and says, hey, tighten it up. You have a choice at that moment, that you have a pastor or you don't have a pastor. And I challenge you to be like your pastor. I don't ever ask anybody to do anything I don't do. If I didn't have a pastor, I wouldn't ask you to have a pastor. But I truly believe that everybody has to be submitted to somebody. I truly believe that everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs an authority. I believe that, or I wouldn't live that. If you're in the armed forces, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has an authority. You might not like it. You might not agree with it, but you're going to do it. Well, that's not the way it is in church, because you all have free will. But you'll always know that if there's directive coming from the pastor. I remember one time I stood up on a Sunday morning, and it doesn't happen often, and the Lord told me that there was somebody in gross sin that if they did not repent within 3 months, that God would reveal it in the newspaper. Within 3 months, that man was in the newspaper. It was a public revealing, and now he's in prison for the rest of his life. God gave him opportunity. You'll always know that I love you enough to tell you the truth. You like me or hate me, that's your choice. But I love you enough to be honest with you. And I pray that if I'm willing to be honest with you, that you will at least trust me enough to know that if I'm giving you directive, I'm hearing from God. I won't give you directive that you don't know, but I'll give you the scripture. And I guarantee you, as a shepherd wants to make sure to protect the sheep and lead them to the next level of fields. What's Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Want means you have no needs. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Come on. Though I walk through the of the, I shall, for thou art with me. I'm not Jesus, but I am his under shepherd. And since he's not here physically on this planet, that's why he gave gifts to men. And so I challenge you to ask yourself a basic question. Am I your pastor? You don't need to run up and tell me. But that's your decision in your own heart. If I'm not your pastor, who is? And if you don't have a pastor, you're just in a dangerous spot because you have no covering. Amen? Questions. It's early. Questions. I know this is a foreign topic for some of you. Questions. To what? You really, for me, Brother Ted is different from a pastor. He's more of an evangelist. And so if I need pastoral guidance, I call Bishop. If I need, let's just say I need to know how to move in the gifts of the Spirit stronger, I call Brother Ted. And yes, it is difficult sometimes because Brother Ted at times has given me directive that as an evangelist, because he had never pastored, would have brought damage. But talking to my pastor, who is a pastor, brought more sense. So I honor them both. My wife and I give them gifts on a consistent basis, financial gifts on a consistent basis. We honor them verbally on a consistent basis. We are very honorable to our gifts because they are God's gift in my life to make sure not only that I am straight, but whoever you're connected with will either take you to the next level or not. The church you participate with has a direct influence on your spiritual success. Right, Kira? Anybody else? Great question. So, no.
5 minutes of yes and then no.
Right. No, because I keep them in their zone. Brother Ted really isn't my pastor. He's more my oversight. Bishop is my pastor. And Sister Kathy, Pastor Kathy. Great question. Anybody else? Has anybody ever not heard this before? It's not bad that you haven't. Has anybody not ever heard spiritual parenting before? Amen. Apostolic. Has anybody ever heard this before? How many of you, after you've heard it, don't raise your hand, have still chosen not to have a pastor? That's what you got to ask yourself. And then the why is important. Why have you not submitted to a local pastor? I don't want to know. You just got to ask yourself that question. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pray for us. We're heading out. Pastor Obina Igbo will be preaching on Sunday morning. If you've never heard Pastor Igbo, woohoo, hang on for the ride, baby. The example he's using on Sunday has been hard to find, really hard to get, but you're going to love it. It's really intense. Amen. I want to remind you to be a giver. You should never come to the King's house without bringing a gift. And let's all stand. Father, I just thank you for your gifts to the church. I thank you, Lord, for the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. We thank you, God, that you have called them into our lives and you have placed them, Lord, to mature us, bring us to unity and maturity. We ask, God, that we will learn to be submissive, that, Lord, the rebellious spirit that is in many of our hearts, Lord, will be melted, and that we will learn to submit, and, God, that we will learn how to be safe in you. Lord, you are the great shepherd. Jesus, we trust you with our soul. We also trust you with our life. In you we live and move and have our being. We ask in Jesus' name that, God, that you will use us, that you will change us, and that, Father, we will love you. We will see many souls saved, and that Jesus, we will grow up to be great leaders for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, bless the offering and all the givers for the glory of God. Amen. You stay.